Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I got to do the legal ID. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
Badger Bryant was on a roll.
Yeah, no, I mean, he started good, then it kind of fell off a little bit. Hey, you know why everybody's nitpicking Kevin Durant for why, you know, for when this next issue isn't? Because he's a free agent at the end of the season. That's why. Well, you know who you know what Brooklyn media is not going to do in the next couple years? They're not going to ask him where he's playing next year because they know he's going to be in Brooklyn. So, I mean, it comes with the territory. But
I didn't even think of this, but everyone kind of would mention, why would he want to go to New York if he can't handle the Bay Area media? Going to New York, but picking the team without the media. Kind of ingenious.
Brooklyn has neither a media or a fan base. So, you know, we'll see. Maybe they can get them a fan base. They got a new arena. I hear it's nice. What is in Brooklyn anyway, Sam?
About 2.5 million people.
Is there? I've been in Brooklyn one time. It's just, wow. We've got even, okay. We got 5 minutes.
Let's go to San.
Yeah, let's
go. Sacramento on line two.
San.
San, how's it going?
Hold up. Oh, hey, what's going on, man? I just want to talk about KD coming to the Warriors. Seemed like he just wanted to come up over here and use us, bro. He just came up over here and use us. So what we going to do, yeah, we going to let him go do what he do in Brooklyn because all he did was cry this year anyway. So he can go ahead and go, man. That's all I wanted to say, though.
Oh, San, I appreciate the call. We are having some fun, caller. What do you think he was on?
I don't know, man.
All right, let's keep going. Let's keep going. He used us, he said. Maybe we should cut that up. Debbie in San Jose. Debbie, how you doing?
I'm good, guys. Thanks. I would just like to say that I appreciate KD, and I would just like to wish him well. And I'm excited for this year coming up because this means the core four, you know, whatever happens, they're going to rise up. They're champions. You know, they have the heart. And I'm so excited for it, for them to finally be underdogs and to come out on top like they used to. And that's it, guys.
Thank you, Debbie. Yeah, I'd be more excited if Clay wasn't hurt. I feel like that just puts a damper on it for me because until Clay's back, I don't know where we're at with the original three.
Yeah, it's a great point. I think people, but you know, I think Clay Thompson.
We're going to get Steph taking 30 shots a game, which is fun.
I think people are okay with that. Well, I think we're going to see a lot of like, I think Steve Kerr said it a couple days ago, or maybe it was Bob Myers that said, it's going to be a different season for the Warriors. They've essentially already set the expectations by saying, hey, that's a transitional year. You may see them play Jordan Bell and Jordan Poole. I'm going to mess that up a lot this year. But he might play a lot despite the fact he's not playing well.
Maybe they can get Michael Jordan. No. Let's go to let's go to Dylan in San Francisco on line one. Dylan, you want to tell us why he went to Brooklyn?
Lay off the salt.
Hey, guys. What's up, man? You know, I think it was a good move on his part, man, and it's also a good move on Golden State's part. By the time he recovers from the Achilles, man, he's going to be about 33. So the only thing I worry about, man, is next year with Clay out, you know, Curry's going to have to do a lot to support the team. So you got to worry about load management, man. You got to handle his minutes and not essentially run him, you know, full minutes for the full 82-game season. Try to taper that down. Get Clay back off the ACL, and then go for it for the next season. So I think it's the best for both parties. Wish KD the best. Glad he got him the title. But we'll be ready to go after next year.
I agree, Dylan. Thanks for calling in. That's kind of the weirdest part for me is Clay being out, and it's kind of they're going to spend the next year kind of – I wouldn't be surprised if they made multiple trades in season and did kind of the thing where they take flyers on guys, see if they can find – player here, player there, and then really go for it the following year when Clay's fully healthy.
The other piece of this is you look at LeBron James, who's going to be 35 this season, 34, somewhere around there. And he went ahead and recruited Anthony Davis. He's, you know, maybe close, maybe not with Kawhi Leonard. But you would think that his championship window is still open if it's not for another season or two. I think with the Warriors, they have Steph and Clay for the next 5 years, and they're not 35. They're 30 and 31, or is it 29 and 31? I think these guys have the ability and the play. You know, they're great shooters, right? And Clay's a defender. I don't think those guys are going to break down, or their game is going to age in a way that's going to make them much worse players than they are. Steve Nash was a great point guard and shooter until he was in his mid-30s.
Late 30s, even,
until his body broke down. So I think that Steph is still going to be a great player, a difference maker for a long time, and same with Klay Thompson. And around that, you figure out what players you can get to build around that. Maybe it's Draymond Green. Maybe it's, you know, Giannis. Who knows? Right, but they'll have the talent. Yeah, I was going to say Giannis, but they'll have the talent. Yeah. They'll have the talent there.
Are you saying Giannis is coming to the Bay?
Let's go!
Who is that? Is that the coach screaming?
Yeah,
yeah. I recognize that. All right. Well, we got a minute left.
We got more news, by the way. Tobias Harris officially off the board, returning to Philly.
Oh, he got the max.
Less than the max. He got 5,180. Klay got 5,190.
Did Klay sign yet?
No. It was reported yesterday that they've agreed. It has not been since confirmed today.
Klay's not picking up his phone. You think he's in the Bahamas just knee deep and swimming?
He'll fax his signature in mid-August.
Do we got time for one more caller?
Yeah, we do one more.
Let's do Warrior 427 in Nevada. How's it going?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good, bro. How are you? Let's what you got for us?
I'm doing pretty good. I mean, I got me 2 Durant jerseys. I mean, 2 rings, right? You know, wish him the best with the Nets and everything. You got to look at it like, when it's over, right? I think in the Bay, we got the best out of KD that you could get. He has to go back to the Nets, sit for about a year and a half, because once you come back from that Achilles, man, you can't go 100%, right? Then he's going to come back to Kyrie and Kyrie's team, basically. So that's going to put pressure. We got to see the environment that he got to come back into. I'm a full-blooded Warrior fan. Been there since the 90s. But I wish him the best. I think the Warriors did the best thing they could have done to keep him around. If he decided to go, hey, when your girlfriend goes, she goes. Let her go to the next.
Oh,
that's
boy.
It.
427, appreciate you calling in. I think he makes a great point by saying the Warriors got the best of KD. Maybe they didn't get the best player that KD's going to be. Who knows? That Achilles definitely, you know, doesn't help. But I think they maximized Kevin Durant, and Kevin Durant helped maximize them in a way that we'll never see again. I do think that's true. I don't think there's going to be a better Kevin Durant version out there.
Absolutely. I mean, when they signed him, he was 28, turning 29. And, I mean, they got his prime.
Yeah, and I think they had the perfect situation for him. I don't think it ever happens again. I don't think Kevin Durant cares. I think he wants his own team. He wants his own city. So we're going to break. We're coming back with Danny LaRue from Dunked On Podcast. He's going to break down the Warriors' options this offseason on the other side.
Warriors World Radio continues on 95.7 The Game. Here's Andy Liu and Sam Esfandiari.
And Warriors World Radio, here's a fun one reported from Woj and Ramona Shelbourne. The Knicks and owner Jim Dolan were not prepared to offer Kevin Durant a full max due to concerns from his Achilles injury, league sources say. Knicks officials are in Los Angeles tonight meeting with free agents such as Julius Randle.
This is why the New York Knicks are the New York Knicks. If you are going to be positioned in probably the best place to play basketball in terms of media coverage and popularity outside of the LA Lakers, and you somehow messed this up, where's Stephen A? Where's our Stephen A audio? He's got to be out here screaming.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, led astray, run amok, and flat out deceived.
I can only dream of being that one day. You know, when Joe Lacob.
Absolute legend.
Absolute legend. You know, it's almost even better, too. Like, the Knicks have somehow made not signing all these players about themselves. I love how when it first breaks that KD is going to the Nets, somehow Knicks fans are clogging up my timeline saying how miserable they are.
And it wasn't just there. It was some of the media sources made it about the Knicks losing out instead of the Warriors. It was pretty funny to me.
I think it's hilarious.
No one likes to self-loathe like the Knicks.
Yeah.
and that was my first thought, too, when I saw that report. The Knicks trying to play the PR game that no one asked him to play.
Like, dude, if Kevin Durant said, hey, Jimmy, I want to sign with you. You have to give me the max. You think Jimmy's going to go out to him and say he doesn't want to give him the max? Come on, get out of here. Get out of here. Be a clown. Are we going to Danny, or are we going maybe to one more? We're going to Danny.
We have Danny?
Danny LaRue, Dunked On Podcast, salary cap expert. Probably should be in a front office. You know, should be getting paid to do salary cap. Maybe on the Lakers. I think you'd be great on the Lakers. Danny, how you doing?
Doing well, guys. How are you?
Doing well. You know, I'm trying to figure out, Danny, there's a lot of moving pieces with the Warriors now that Kevin Durant is gone. What can the Warriors even do? Can you break down what they're actually able to do? We've got a million people in the text line telling us that they should sign, you know, Bojan Bogdanovic for 30
million. Yeah, the text line's been a good reminder to how complicated the salary cap is because most people aren't getting it.
Well, for selfish reasons, I'm happy it's this complicated because that allows me to have a job. But so basically, unless this ends up becoming a sign and trade, which is, Chris Haynes is reporting, is a possibility, we're going to have to see. We can go through those logistics if you want.
Interesting.
Outside of that, the Warriors really, they don't gain much spending power by virtue of Durant leaving. Their team gets a lot less expensive. So basically they have the mid-level exception. I would assume that's going to be the smaller one, the taxpayer, which I think is about $5.7 million. Then they do have what are called non-bird rights on DeMarcus Cousins. They can give him a 20% raise on last year. They have bird rights to re-sign Bell and Cook and Looney if they want to. But the NBA, because it has a soft cap, just because you lose an expensive guy does not mean you get somebody back. And the example I used to always use for this was the Thunder didn't get a big exception to use when they lost Kevin Durant. Now I can just switch on to his new departure.
So, yeah, I'm seeing Chris Haynes reporting that there's a possibility of a sign and trade. Can you kind of walk us through what that would look like and why either side would do it? Or I guess he did walk us through how the Warriors would do it. Why would the Nets do it?
So there isn't really a clear incentive for the Nets to do it as their offseason is structured right now. It's possible we're going to hear more that will clarify it. But really, generally, the way this would work is, and this is, it's the same thing with the rumor about maybe that they would get Kyrie via sign and trade as well, is that the Nets are a facilitator in this, kind of, you know, not in the same way, but kind of like teams that take on bad contracts. You know, they're making a deal, they're making something possible. And generally speaking, when teams help out another team, they get something in return. So that could be a pick, it could be a young player, it could be something like that. Because if it's structured as a sign and trade, that really doesn't help, as I understand it right now, that doesn't really help the Nets at all. But it could give the Warriors a gigantic trade exception. $30 million would probably be the number there, would be the largest trade exception in NBA history.
What would that do, Danny? Well, like, what would a trade exception do?
So a trade exception, you can acquire a player who is under contract. So that could be, and you could split it multiple things. So if it's $30 million, that means you could take one guy making $29 million, or you could take one making $15 and one making $14. You can go in a lot of different directions with a trade exception. And so that could allow the Warriors to build out their depth. Like, theoretically, Jay Crowder is on the Memphis Grizzlies, and the Memphis Grizzlies don't particularly need Jay Crowder. The Warriors could acquire him via the trade exception, and that doesn't mean they can send assets back, they can send young players back, whatever. It just means that the salaries don't have to match. So it would be a way for the Warriors to add additional talent, and because now that Durant is gone, they have, you know, each dollar they spend costs ownership less because they don't have his $38 million on the books.
Got it. So, okay, so, and so we got Danny LaRue on. He does a mock offseason on his podcast, Dunked On Podcast, with Nate Duncan and a couple other guys. You guys had a very interesting scenario with Sean Livingston. So I'm going to ask you, I guess, two questions. One is, what are the options left for the Warriors? What kind of players should they be targeting? And what can they do with Sean Livingston here? I know they pushed back the agreement date on whether they agree on the rest of the contract or not. So
the thing with Sean Livingston is that the league restructured this in the new collective bargaining agreement. And so it used to be like if you had a lightly guaranteed contract, you could trade that for somebody who makes the full value. So like there were these crazy deals where a player would have like a $10 million non-guarantee and you could trade them for a guy making actually $10 million. They took that away. And so, but what teams can do, and this doesn't count as a renegotiation, is if you can just guarantee more money on a guy's contract, and then it just counts at that number. So let's use the Jay Crowder hypothetical again. So let's say the Warriors don't create this huge trade exception with KD. they could basically guarantee enough for Sean Livingston to allow a Jay Crowder trade to work via the trade rules. So I think that's like $4.8 million. I don't have the number off the top of my head, something around there. And if they do that, then they could trade for Crowder, and they didn't have to use an exception or anything like that. And so that's a pretty good deal. And then Memphis is saving money. Maybe the Warriors send cash in the deal. So basically it's just another way to facilitate, and Livingston can still do whatever. Maybe Memphis cuts him, he retires, whatever. So that's why he probably pushed it back, just to help out the Warriors. He's not making any less money in any way, shape, or form. It just kind of keeps things flexible.
Danny, are there any good examples of teams who've gotten large traded player exceptions and done anything with it? Because I'm kind of racking my mind. I can't think of any off the top of my head.
I'm trying to think about it off the top of my head. It does. I can't think of specific examples right now, but it does happen. I mean, so the challenge with a trade exception is that, generally speaking, unless you're going to include a lot of assets, the other team has to not want the guy. Like, you can't use it to straight up sign somebody. And that's a challenge, because in many circumstances, it's way easier to sign a player than it is to acquire one, because then the other team has to sign off. But there are, I know that there have been some, they're just facilitating. I mean, the Wizards just got a bunch of guys using, like, all the moves that they did, like facilitating with the Lakers and all that, which I think were useful for Washington. That was all done with trade exceptions. So those are smaller end deals, but it absolutely can happen.
Got it. So, so anyway, we slice it. The Warriors are kind of operating from a position of being over the cap, and they have to get creative. I want to talk about that mid-level exception. Who do you think the Warriors should be targeting with that $5.7 million?
The cop-out easy shorthand is the best player who's willing to take their money. But, I mean, so let's say it's about $6 million. That's a good shorthand.
Who is left? Danny, I think Damari Carroll signed a two-year $12 million.
Get into all that, yeah. And I mean, the thing that the Warriors can offer, which is really interesting, is they can offer a bunch of playing time this year, and so that could be on a high leverage team. So, yeah, I think guys like Wes Matthews are going to make more than that. That's my instinct. I've liked James Ennis for a long time. I thought the Warriors might get him a couple of times before. He'd be interesting, and they're looking more on probably on the perimeter, because they have big guys that they can retain if they want to. Looney, Bell, they could sign somebody for the minimum. They've done well with that in the past. So I would be looking more for that type of stuff. Maybe Austin Rivers, he'd be interesting.
Austin Rivers.
Did Steph Curry well in the past.
My guide.
And, yeah.
Smiley Geach, maybe? You think Smiley Geach LaRue is going to be a front line guy?
We'll have to see. It's funny. Like, I don't have the time to watch much G League. So I actually, like, even though he was local, I haven't seen him play at all. But the Warriors might be relying on those young guys more than we – than they have in the recent past.
Dark days where I was joking to Danny about a rookie.
Yeah, I mean, when we're going to be talking about, like, Jacob Evans having to step up, that's always a fun conversation to have, isn't it?
The next Andre Iguodala, they said. That's what the front office thinks. All right, Danny, a lot of people are a little bit worried and are asking and saying, I mean, a lot of people, my friends who are big Warriors fans, are saying, hey, should we just take the season off? Maybe they can tank and get a lottery pick. How would you run this season?
So I think, especially if, assuming like Curry and Draymond, all those guys are on board, what you do is the Warriors have, like what we've been walking through, they have limited tools to really spend a lot of money to get a lot better during the year, unless they do the crazy trade exception thing with KD. And also, I should mention, if they do that, they could theoretically use the trade exception next league year if they wanted to. They would be, if whatever the trade actually would happen, July 8th or whatever, they could use it until then. Anyway, small note. What I would do is use whatever spending things they have to get the best players you can get, and then the drop date for me would be early February. And so in early February, you're going to know how well the team is doing, how well the rest of the West is doing, who's healthy and all that, but also what's going on with Clay. And so I think there are a lot of people who feel like you have to make all these decisions right now, and I disagree with that. I think that you get the best guys you can, and then if the Warriors are competitive at that point and it looks like Clay is going to be back imminently, or he'll be back for the playoffs, then you probably push a little bit. And if he's not, then you might look in a different direction. But the big question there, and this gets into something, if you want to get open this can of worms that I think is really interesting, which is, I think Myers and the front office owe it to themselves to have the big conversation about well, if we end up tanking the season or whatever, if we end up, you know, if it just doesn't go their way, maybe Curry does something and misses 15 games, it becomes a much bigger deal with all these other guys out. In that circumstance, the question that the Warriors should be talking about is not should we, like, trade Iguodala or anything like that or Draymond Green. It's do we want to sign those guys to the next contracts? Because if you do, then you keep them around and you run everything and it's fine. But if, for whatever reason, the Warriors think, you know, Draymond's a wonderful player, but he doesn't fit with where we're going at the price he's going to get, then that's when you need to make those harder decisions. And maybe you consider trading those guys. And it's I'm not advocating for that, but those are the types of decisions that they should be having right now, because if this is a lost season, then you might as well make those moves at some point.
Danny, do you have any – because I agree with you 100%. You know, they have Steph and Clay locked up. They kind of have to look at it. Do they want to keep Draymond and kind of build around that three, or do they want to go in a different direction? But are you saying they should kind of start the season with everyone and kind of have that conversation down the line, or you think that's something they're going to look at this summer?
I think they should have it right now. I think that they should have had they should have started having that decision the day after the finals ended, because teams have more flexibility, you know, potential trade partners, let's say. They have more flexibility right now, well, let's say 5 hours ago, than they do at any point moving forward, because they're, you know, they haven't committed their cap space and they haven't drafted, especially if they haven't, the draft doesn't happen yet, they haven't drafted guys. And so you're going to do that. But the problem is, you know, one of the conversations that needs to happen is with Draymond Green. It's possible that's already happened with his representation. What is the number that he's willing to accept, whether right. it's as an extension or what is he thinking about for next year? But no, I think you have that. I think you have that conversation right away, because, and it might be more of an internal one than with Draymond, because they just need to know, well, if he gets a max deal, are we good with that? And yes, Draymond is unrestricted, so he could leave of his own volition if he wants to, but my expectation is that the Warriors, you know, offered him something comparable, he'd probably come back, because they're a really good team. He's been on this franchise his whole career. So,
and he gets paid. Yeah,
and he gets paid.
Works out
so
well.
I think that you have that conversation right away, but that doesn't mean you act on it right away, because it depends on what's there. And it's entirely possible that on other teams, you know, Draymond's a wonderful player, or sitting there, they might be thinking, well, if we get him for this year, he's an unrestricted free agent. He's probably not going to sign an extension. So what are we getting out of it? They get bird rights. They can re-sign him. But if the offers aren't strong enough, then that's the other reason you'd keep him, is just to play out the string and see where things go.
Yeah. And we got one final one for you. We got Daniel LaRue from Dunked On Podcast, also Real GM Radio. What years back, Danny, we were covering the team at Oracle, I think maybe 2014. You had posited to me the idea that Kevin Durant could sign with the Warriors, and I looked at you and I thought you were insane. Now, fast forward 5 years, and tell me how the Warriors can sign Giannis.
I haven't written that piece. I have to think about it a little bit, but the thing that makes things really different now is that a lot more. So, like, if Steph and Clay are getting their money, it's a lot harder to squeeze in a third guy now that those guys are locked in and all the cap spikes and all that are done. So it would probably involve trading one of those two guys.
Ooh,
there you go.
That's a lot tougher decision than, oh, let's just add KD.
Oh, yeah, let's add Kevin and keep almost all of our good players.
It was nice when Steph was on an 11-mil-year contract.
Give you some credit. You just got paid a bunch of money.
Danny LaRue, thank you, sir, for coming on, for telling us how everything is possible and not possible with the Warriors. I appreciate it, brother.
Thank you, Danny.
Anytime, my guys.
Danny LaRue, God, he's smart.
Yeah, that trade exception stuff is pretty interesting. It's now being reported by a few people that's in the talks. We don't know if it'll happen, but essentially it gives the Warriors $30 million to take on players from other teams, not free agents. It'd have to be – he brought up Jay Crowder because people seem to think Memphis is going to try to unload him for some sort of pick. But they could use that 30 mil to get guys like that.
Yeah, and if you saw Bob Myers during the press conference, the rookie press conference, and he looked a little disheveled and annoyed, and, you know, like he did when the Warriors first traded for Andre Iguodala, I think you know what he was trying to do. I think the Warriors knew this was going to happen. I think the Warriors Kevin Durant flew in Bob Myers, Steph Curry, and he, you know, had to tell them in person to their faces that he was leaving. And, you know, that's respectable. That's amazing. Good for him.
But I think the Warriors had known this was coming, and I think they're working on the contingency plans. And part of that is whatever talent we get back, let's get something back. And if it's Jay Crowder, D'Angelo Russell, whatever it is, right, whatever name you could throw out there, it's better than nothing. It's better than if KD just walks away and you get nothing out of it.
Because then you're talking about minimum signings and you're talking about guys like McKinney.
Okay. All right. We've got 6-7 minutes, I think, and we've got Michael and Javier who's been waiting on the line. I appreciate it. Let's go to Michael in San Francisco.
What's going on?
Hey, man.
Big fan of the show. I just got a question. It's kind of about a legacy. Related question for Kevin Durant. So he was on the Warriors for 3 years, accomplished a lot of things, obviously. And do you guys think that there's a time in the future where the Warriors retire number 35 in the Chase Center and we see his jersey up in the rafters at the Chase Center?
That's a good question.
Yes.
Andy, what do you think?
Yes, yes, yes. Michael, thank you for calling. Yes. For a guy that, you know, he came to a team that lost the championship in 2016 and won 2 finals MVP and led them to back-to-back titles. And it would have been 3 if he didn't play through that injury and pop his Achilles. Yeah, I mean, you have to, Sam. What do you think?
I agree with you.
I think it's a question. Yeah.
2-time finals MVP, part of a dynasty. You got to retire his number.
Does he get a statue? I don't think so.
I mean, do we know if anyone's getting a statue?
Steph Curry's getting a statue.
Have the Warriors committed to building a bunch of statues out front? Like, is this part of the whole Chase Center thing that
no statues
formally committed to that I don't know about?
Well, this is the arena that Steph Curry built.
We're getting a Joe Lacob statue.
Joe Lacob spending $100 million
on a
40-win team this
year. Joe Lacob sitting
there
with his arms crossed courtside. Annoyed with turnovers. That's the statue I want.
The money that Lacob is going to spend this season for a middle-of-the-road playoff team is hilarious. It's not my money, Sam. It's not your money. So he's a billionaire. So, you know, they'll be back.
Well, he's committed to winning, which is more than we can say for the previous Warriors owners and certain other owners.
Jimmy Dolan? You don't think Jimmy Dolan, who by the way, Sam read a tweet earlier that said that he wasn't willing to offer Kevin Durant the max. The New York Knicks. But
the Knicks did just sign Julius Randle.
Well, the
3 years, 63.
Good for them. Good for Randle. Good for Randle. He's a good player. So, did you see that somebody called him a more athletic Zion Williamson, a more athletic?
That was
Julius.
Enes Kanter. And that is why Enes Kanter. Yeah, he's a poor defensive player.
That is why Enes Kanter is Enes Kanter. All right, let's go to Javier in Vacaville. Javier, thank you for waiting. What you got for us?
How you guys doing?
Good, man. How are you? You seem sad.
Yeah, you know, it hurts, man. It hurts. But, you know, if you're a Warriors fan and this doesn't bother you somewhat, then you really ain't down for the blue and yellow, and you definitely weren't there for the blue and orange. But, like, what I want to more or less come across in regards to what I'm trying to get out before you guys have to run is this isn't over in regards to not just the dynasty, quote-unquote, but people need to do their research and saying the Warriors – can't get any conversation. You guys really need to look into the Warriors, Myers, and Lacob, and all of them. They need to console and more or less make a phone call to do anything they can to get compensation for Golden State and try to get D'Angelo Russell in a sign and trade. Because whether it's plausible or not, the Warriors will find a way if they're really serious to, oh, well, we're trying to tank the season. That's not the Lacob way. D'Angelo Russell with Steph Curry in a sign and trade, they can't take on any free agents because they're already over the cap and they have none but the mid-level exception left. But there have been numerous reports in the last 45 minutes that D'Angelo Russell would be a plausible option with Klay Thompson going to start the season on injured reserve with his torn ACL. But nonetheless, even if he does come to the Golden State and say, well, how would he start if he's when Klay Thompson returns? You could put Klay Thompson at the 3 and more or less run a 2-guard lineup, you know, 2-point guard lineup more or less, and have Steph play off the ball. Really suited for that anyway, I think. Also, D'Angelo Russell and Klay Thompson, you have 3 and Steph also obviously, 3 perennial scorers that more or less might be a small lineup, but more perennial lineup, and that will definitely be a top-5 team in the West. I'm not saying they'll make the finals, but I think those 3 alone, with Draymond and you re-sign Kevon Looney, you'll make the playoffs a top-5 seed. I'm just trying to more or less save face because, you know, this hurts, and this is a way to, you know, save some of the luster of what they have going to Chase Center, especially in 2019 in San Francisco. But, you know, that people are saying this is the end-all, be-all. And, you know, I know the dynasty might not be more or less something that looks
plausible and relative, but this would be the best thing for the Warriors right now at this time.
Thank you, Javier.
Great call.
I agree. I have no doubt, excuse me, that the Warriors are exploring any option they can right now. There's just the reality of it. When you're over the cap, your options are limited. Okay, they want to do a sign and trade for D'Angelo Russell. Well, Brooklyn has to want to do it on their end. They have to facilitate it. It's not like the Warriors can just go and offer a free agent money. It's not like they can just go out there and say, Bojan Bogdanović, here's $73 million. They don't have that kind of freedom because they're over the cap. So I'm sure Myers is doing everything he can to try to add players and kind of rebound and, you know, do what they can, but their options are limited.
Warriors fans are about to be all D'Lo fans, huh? Huge D'Angelo Russell fans in the Bay Area. Had no idea. It's better than Alphonso McKinney starting at the two.
Are we going to call this like Steph Monte 2.0? Nah, D'Lo and Monte are different players.
Steph and Monte 2.0. Those two guys starting in the defense is going to be fun. No, we got time for one more. Do we have time for one more? We do have time for one more. Let's go to Martin in Sacramento. He wants to talk about who the Warriors can add in free agency. Martin, how you doing?
Good, sir. How you doing?
Well. All right, what you got for us?
Well, okay, so I have the question, but I had a quick comment since I was listening to you guys. I don't think Durant, if I heard right, I don't think Durant should get a statue because I think it has to do with time, longevity, and what he did for the team. If anybody, it should be Steph, Clay, or even Draymond. Those three guys have been there for the long haul, and I'd be more sad if they left than if Draymond, although I think Draymond's one of the greatest players on the planet. But apart from that, I was wondering, who do you guys think that they're going to go after? Do you think they'll go after a sharpshooter with defensive abilities, somebody better than a McKinney? McKinney's getting really good, but do you think they'll go after somebody who's already established, or do you think they'll go after some type of defense center that can shoot?
Thank you, Martin. Yeah, no, I think we know they value defense, so I can't see them committing their limited resources to someone who plays no defense. Danny mentioned Austin Rivers. That's not a bad name. It's going to be someone in that sphere. They definitely need someone who can score the ball and put the ball in the hoop. Iguodala, Draymond, Looney, excellent players of what they do, but no one would call them scorers. Right now, it's just Steph and a bunch of guys who want to play defense on the roster, so they need someone who's going to shoot the ball.
Steph and some goons. Yeah, I mean, I guess it almost kind of depends on if they can get this sign-and-trade done as well, too, right? If you get D'Angelo, why do you need Austin Rivers? Maybe you go look for a wing or a big.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Or if they get that trade exception, then they got, you know, they got options for players down the road.
Yeah, and Crowder's a good fit, I mean, as a player. But anyway, we got Matt Koski coming back on the other side of the break. The last hour, we're going to talk about who the Warriors are going to be targeting in free agency. You're listening to Warriors Radio on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warriors World Radio on 95.7 The Game. Here's Andy Liu and Sam Esfandiari.
Than you.
That's pretty good, Sam.
And I will never find another lover.
Yeah,
more precious than you.
No.
Precious than you. You are.
Close to me, you're like my mother.
Close to me, you're like my
father. Close to me, you're like my sister.
I'm pretty sure this is Andy. This is what Andy would have done if he was pitching KD. Call in 888-957-9570 and let us know if you think this would have got KD to stay.
I pray for someone like you.
No, I don't think Katie would have enjoyed that.
It'd have been too much.
Not enough. You know Kevin Durant. He wants that love. Give him a little Casey and JoJo. I remember in middle school, they played this at the middle school dance, end of eighth grade, Sam. Very a tearjerker. One for the ages. This, boy, they had the graduation song. You know that Vitamin C song?
I forgot about that
song. Yeah, a classic.
No, it's certainly not.
Warriors World Radio, Andy Liu, Sam Esfandiari. We are here until 6 o'clock. We've been breaking down all the free agent signings. Kevin Durant, if you had not heard, is leaving the Warriors and signing with the Brooklyn Nets, along with his buddy, Kyrie Irving, as well as DeAndre Jordan.
His other buddy.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. His two close friends. So he spurned, you know, a couple million dollars and some, you know, the ability to play with Steph and Klay and Draymond for happiness. You know, hopefully getting to play with his best friends in the league, hopefully he finds, you know, whatever that is that he's looking for. Because if you're winning titles here, you know, two in a row, and you weren't able to find that, hopefully that will be the case in Brooklyn. So good for KD.
What's your lasting memory of this last 3 years, Andy?
Wow, that is a great question. I think the lasting memory of these last, and this is going to sound a little depressing, kind of, was just how it never felt that Kevin Durant was truly happy as a Warrior. I think on the court, it always, especially in that first year, I thought there was probably no better team in NBA history than this team. Maybe Michael Jordan Bulls, right? That's probably maybe a better team. But beyond that, I don't think you're ever going to get a better team than this one and a better fit.
I mean, that 16-1 playoff run was the most dominant basketball I've ever seen.
I don't think you'll ever see anything better. It's just a perfect mixture and chemistry of great basketball players. High IQ, unselfishness, talent, all of it.
And they were all at the right age. I mean, I think we kind of forget that, you know. In 2016-17, they're all 28, 29. Yep. Iguodala is 33, so he's still got his legs. I mean, when you look back at it, this three-year run peaked in year one.
Yeah, peaked in year one, which is surprising because, you know, you look at the Heat, right, and you look at those LeBron teams where in year one it's always always crazy and always doesn't seem to work out. But my lasting image, though, Sam, is that it never seemed like Kevin Durant was fully invested on being a Warrior. That's my last image.
They had an amazing first year, 67 wins. Then they go 16-1 in the playoffs. They're one game away from a perfect playoffs. I mean, the more I think about it, the more ridiculous that is, right?
Yep.
And then after that, all it was whispers. It's like it didn't fulfill him. And
it did it. That's why he's gone. Yeah,
the noise got to him.
Yeah.
I don't know what else you can say.
Yeah. The noise, but you know, part of it, it's just probably himself too, right? Like, you know, part of it is, hey, people always say, well, it's the media this, media that. Well, you know, if he signed maybe a four year contract with a player option on the fourth year, I don't think those whispers would be there. I don't think Ethan Strauss is going to be talking. I don't think Marcus Thompson is going to be writing anything. You know, I don't think the media has much to say if you're signing a 4 year deal, but he didn't. Sign a 1+1 every year. So it never felt like he was fully invested. And really, that's fine. He wanted it that way, and we see why he wanted it that way. There was a reason. He wanted the freedom to move if he wanted to. And I guess there was a certain point in time where I think he made the decision before the year started, Sam. I don't know if you agree with me or not. I think he made this decision before the first game was played.
I mean, as they always say, if you're looking – yeah, you're probably going to leave, right?
Yeah.
Like, Klay wasn't looking. Klay wanted to re-up. The only reason he'd look is because he wasn't getting offered the money he wanted. But,
right.
And then Steph, he wasn't looking. But KD, I mean, he wasn't sure.
Yeah, he truly wasn't sure unless it was the first year. I mean, if you look at Draymond Green, I don't think he wants to leave unless they give him, you know. Andre Iguodala never was going to leave. He just negotiated the hell out of that deal and got $16 million on the back
end. All I'm saying is I'm looking at all the deals being signed today, and you can't say Iguodala ripped the Warriors off.
Yeah.
Not when Ricky Rubio gets 3 years, $51 million, 17 a year.
Julius Randle just got 3 years and $63 million to play in New York.
I mean, at least Julius Randle's, what, 24, 23, and he's pretty good. At least you're paying for upside there. Ricky Rubio?
I mean, even Harrison Barnes, who's relatively young still, got 4 years and $90 million. Harrison Barnes, Sam. We know Harrison Barnes very well.
All too well.
$90 million for 4 years. Sorry.
Okay, so now we got our first mid-level signing here. Rodney Hood re-ups with Portland for the $5.7 million mid-level exception. So that's what the Warriors will have to work with. If they don't work out this whole sign-and-trade thing to get themselves more exceptions, that's the level of player they're going to look at.
Okay. Rodney Hood.
So my question, I thought they might look at Rodney Hood. He's kind of a gunner.
Yeah. I think rangy, has defensive potential, doesn't really play defense, but longer, right? Yeah, I think Rodney Hood was definitely an option. But before the break, I think a lot of people were asking, hey, what are the Warriors going to be looking at if they can't do a sign and trade? I mean, my pick is Austin Rivers. That's my guy. If you're going to want a guy that can create, that can shoot, that at least tries on defense, Steph Curry tries on defense, right? Now, you don't want someone like Jamal Crawford
and
who
Austin
doesn't
does kind of slot into perfect third guard for when Clay is back. So you can start him at the beginning of the year, but when Clay is back, he's kind of that third guard they haven't really had since Livingston was a little younger, right? Or Barbosa.
Yep. Barbosa, man. The Warriors could use Barbosa right now, huh? Maybe they can use a little Mo Spates.
We have a report. The Warriors are meeting with Looney in Los Angeles. Think they keep Looney? I mean, here's the thing. He's unrestricted, so they don't have – he has to want to stay.
Well, the Warriors can pay him, though, as much as they want.
Correct. They can,
right? They have his
but theoretically, if the Warriors offer him – if two teams offer him the same amount, one's the Warriors and let's say the other is Houston.
Houston Rockets, yeah.
He gets to make the decision. It's not like when he's restricted, and if the Warriors match it, he has to come back.
Yeah. He can make you, but he's coming back with the Warriors. I think you look at the deals.
You feel pretty confident?
Pretty confident. I mean, if he was going to get a deal that was out of the Warriors' range, he would have signed it already.
Yeah, and I think he's one of those guys who he had a great season, and he's going to have an expanded role next year if he comes back. So he has a chance to make even more money. Maybe he takes one of those like 2 or 3 year deals with an early opt out and he shows he has more offensive game. Do we think he has more offensive
game? He might. I mean, he might. He has that little spin.
He can do a little more.
Yeah, he can shoot. Maybe he can expand that range a little more.
Will Kerr allow him to shoot?
Yeah, that's right. Steve Kerr. I mean, so here's the thing about Kevon Looney. We'll talk about this for a few seconds before jumping back on the phones. I think part of his allure with the Warriors as well is that he feels like unless the Warriors offer him like $3 million and you know go away, right? We're not going to offer you more. Unless the Warriors do that, I think Kevon Looney's like, hey, you gave me a shot. You rehab me. You gave me a chance. I do want to stay if you're going to pay me enough.
That's where I'm sitting. I think as long as the Warriors are willing to match whatever his best offer is, I think he comes back.
Yeah,
I don't think he's in a position to take a discount. It's not like he's made a lot of money. He's had injury issues, you know. But as long as the Warriors pay him whatever his going rate is, I think he's back.
Yeah. Text line, what's going on with Clay getting nervous? Sam, are you nervous about Clay Thompson?
Not at all.
Think he's going to sign with the Lakers?
No.
Clay Thompson is likely coming back. We don't have a report on that yet.
Well, it was reported yesterday. We just haven't seen it. So one of the myths of free agency is players can sign today. They cannot sign today. They can sign July 6th. Everything being mentioned today is agreements have been reached.
Ooh.
Doesn't mean they're going to fall apart. I mean, there's been cases.
KD's coming back.
There have been cases where contracts have been agreed to and they've fallen apart. The
DeAndre Jordan,
the most famous one with the emojis. But in general, that's what's going on. And the Warriors announced, well, the Warriors didn't announce. Mark Stein announced yesterday that they'd reached an agreement. And I would say it's about as good as you're going to get right now. He'll sign it on the 6th.
Mark Stein is like the best reporter that you can get, too. You know, Mark Stein, Woj, Sham. So were you going somewhere? Were you reading out some more contracts, Sam?
No, I was just going to confirm Mark Stein was the one who said it, and he did.
Yeah, okay. So the Warriors, like we were saying, don't have many options. But you know, if they can get the sign and trade, or now is the time. I think, Sam, you were pointing this out earlier. The Warriors may not sign anyone today. They may be looking to kind of pick up second or third tier free agents tomorrow and the rest of this week or next week.
Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yep.
When guys see that their big offer that they were hopeful for isn't there and they have to be a little more realistic.
Yeah.
That's kind of where they're going to be looking. Danny LaRue, who we had on last hour, from the Dunked On podcast, brought up a good point. If they do get that trade exception, Warrior fans need to be patient because the exception lasts a full year. And the odds that they're going to be able to turn it around into a player overnight, limited. It's going to probably be one of those things where maybe they use a little of it this summer, Maybe they get an opportunity to use a little of it at the trade deadline and a little more of it next summer. I'm kind of looking at this more as the next year they're going to be wheeling and dealing around their core. And so the team they start the year with is probably not going to be the team they end the year with. This is the first year in a few years that they're going to be one of those teams looking to buy or sell at the deadline to make mid-season trades because they don't have a fully set rotation.
When the Warriors first put this dynasty in place, when Klay Thompson was drafted, Harrison Barnes was drafted, Draymond Green was drafted, and then they traded for Andre Iguodala, and they got Sean Livingston, Jerry West and Travis Schlenk, amongst other front office people, were in the front office. Now, they don't have them. They also, as far as we know, not really replaced them.
Well, Larry Harris got promoted. And he's a lifetime.
He's always been there, though.
He's a good guy.
But I don't think, you know, they've lost people. They've lost talent. And Baumeier has a lot of work to do. Kirk Lakeup has a lot of work to do. And I don't know, we don't know, if they have the IQ, the intelligence, or the track record up there to do this. Sam, I don't know.
I also cannot stress this enough. A lot easier to operate from a position under the cap where you have a budget. And then you're meeting with people and you're like, I can give you this much and this is why you should come here. They're operating from a position where they have to get other teams involved, maybe work out a trade. Now you're talking about compensating another team. Do they really want to give up future picks? I mean, we saw what happened to their bench because they missed on picks the last couple of years. It was painfully thin.
Yeah, I mean, and here's the thing. Bitcoin's blown up. Why can't Joe Lacob just throw a few into Wes Matthews, you know? Get him to sign the mid-level exception. A couple million, you know, a couple Bitcoins. Got it. We got a re-legal. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ-FM and HD1 San Francisco. Radio.com, sports station. All right. Sam? Nope. Yes?
Yeah, I think we should get to the phones.
Yep.
All right. So we got Matt Kolsky joining us in 10 to 15 minutes, and then we'll have clear phones the rest of the way. So if you want to join us, 888-957-9570. We want to hear your thoughts on the last 3 years, the KD era, and what you think the Warriors should do going forward. Let's go to Chris in San Leandro on line one. Chris, how's it going?
What's up? I just want to say I love you guys. You guys are great follows on Twitter, so... The world, if you don't follow them yet, follow them on Twitter, Sam and Andy.
Love that.
First of all, I think we are going to do the sign and trade. I think KD is going to do it in good spirit so he doesn't leave us high and dry. I think he'll try to make that happen. Second, I want the world to know, don't be so sure this Brooklyn thing is going to work out. These two guys are weird players. They're hypersensitive. And they take everything to heart. So just one rift can make this thing implode, if you know what I mean. And it's winning cures all woes, but if they start losing and it doesn't go the way they thought it was going to go, I don't think it's going to work out.
I mean, that's a good point, Chris. And in fact...
Weird players.
I mean, the Warriors weren't losing, and it went kind of weird with KD. The Celtics weren't really losing. I mean, they didn't really... meet expectations, and it went weird with Kyrie. The Cleveland Cavaliers weren't losing, and it went weird with Kyrie.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. The Boston Celtics had a really talented young team that Kyrie could have and should have been the leader there. Like, can you imagine if Steph Curry was on that Celtics team, Sam?
65 wins.
65 wins, easy. Coming out of the East, probably win the title.
Bill Simmons would have been correct.
Seriously, though, if Steph Curry was the leader on that Celtics team... Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Terry Rozier.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.